الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر. وقال الله تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على حبيبك ونبيك سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. اللهم آته الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته، واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، first and foremost I like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us the opportunity to sit together in the house of Allah at a time when not thousands, millions of people are deprived from attending the houses of Allah. And day by day we are only hearing about these opportunities that are being taken away from us and from the Ummah. And what could be more hurting than hearing that at present even Haramain are closed for us. But when we heard and we all talk about it and we show our grief, sometimes anger, sorrow about why Haramain are closed and everyone has some comments to pass on those type of issues. So the simple question would be, if Haram is closed, your masjid is open, where are you? Why your masjid is empty? And if these masajid will start being empty, Allah will close that door also. It's not about who's closing it. No one can close it if we open it for ourselves. And if we don't avail these opportunities and these blessings and appreciate this ni'mah of Allah in the form of the masajid that we have, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the ni'mah away. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Be grateful, I'll increase the ni'mah. How are we showing our gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we look at our situation, our connection to the masajid, we should be so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we still have the Qur'an with us. Otherwise, the way we have been ungrateful to this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should have been taken away from us long time back. When was the last time we need to ask ourselves, each and every person, when was the last time that I finished one Qur'an? When is the last day when I perform all five prayers with Jama'ah in the masjid? How many days do I perform all prayers in the masjid? What are my activities when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How am I supporting this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is it that I'm doing? Ask ourselves, if today we say to ourselves, I'm going to take a break for a day. Okay? Take a break for one day from the Islamic activities that I'm doing. What is it that you wouldn't do? What is it that I'm doing in normal days that I would say, okay, I'm taking a break today? If we take a break, that simply means we won't even do our fard prayer that day. What more are we doing? So this is a great ni'mah of Allah, giving us the opportunity to assemble in His home, in His house, in the masajid. One al-masajid alillah. These are the houses of Allah. And remember, the connection of the masajid is with the Kaaba. This is why we are facing the Kaaba. All of our masajid are facing the Kaaba. Kaaba is the center of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know when we say we call it the house of Allah, what does house of Allah doesn't mean, wal ayazu billah, type of residence. That is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would shower His special rahmah and blessing that He would like to give to the people of Iman who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our masajid, and we are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our prayers, we are getting our share from the rahmah that is coming down over there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people that will establish masajid. And He chooses people that will establish His deen in their own lives. And He chooses people that will bring the deen up into other people's life. He chooses people that will serve His deen. It's not that randomly all of a sudden someone starts doing something for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah chooses people for that. In order for us to be chosen to serve the deen of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ O you who believe, if you support Allah, Allah will support you. He doesn't need our support, but He wants to see our willingness of offering our support. If you are not willing, He says, then I don't need you. And this is how we are getting deprived. Day by day, the doors are closing up on us. How many countries at this time who had masajid just like we have them today? And today they don't have their masajid anymore. Countries that we call them Islamic countries, Muslim countries, no more masajid. All doors are closed. How many countries in the world that are considered to be Muslim country, you cannot have beard over there. You cannot have hijab over there. You cannot pray regularly over there. You cannot practice the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over there. In tansurullah yansurkum. You support Allah, the deen of Allah, Allah will support you. Allah will help you. In order for us to receive that help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to continue preserving, protecting and serving this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to make ourselves available to it. Are we available? Have we proven ourselves to be available? Can we preserve the Qur'an if a time comes that I need to preserve this book of Allah because something is happening by which this book is being taken away? Can I say that I'm going to volunteer to preserve this book of Allah and help preserving the book of Allah? The question will be, when was the last time you read one parah of Quran? A person who didn't even read, who doesn't even have time to read one part of Quran, or one page maybe, and he's going to preserve the whole Quran? The point that I like to remind here, in the light of the ayat that I just recited, these are the ayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite in Salatul Jum'ah. Almost every Friday, he used to recite these ayat. Surah A'la and Surah Ghashiyah. And even in Salatul Eid, he used to recite these surahs, along with some other surahs sometime that he would recite. But these are some of the main surahs that he would recite in Jum'ah and in Eid. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ Don't they look at the camels? How are they created? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ Don't they look at the sky? How is it being raised? وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ And at the mountains, how firmly they are situated on the ground. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ And at the ground, how it has been flattened for people to be able to walk on it. شَهْ وَلِيُّ اللَّهِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these four things is reminding us the four qualities that we need in order to benefit from this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the ayat before these four ayat are talking about Jannah and Jahannam. And right after this, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ Remind them. You're only to remind. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرِ You can't force no one, but remind them. These are reminders. What are these reminders? الشَّهْ وَلِيُّ اللَّهِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ explains. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about four qualities that He likes to see in a true believer that is ready to support the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ He says, look at the camels, how they have been created. A camel is known as Safinatul Sahra in Arabic, which means the ship of the desert. It's an amazing animal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with amazing qualities. The time when these ayat were revealed, those people didn't have to open books of science to start learning about these details of what Allah is reminding us of. They knew what Allah is talking about when He's saying, look at the camel. This camel will take you through deserts, will walk in the hot desert, and on the hot sun, without demanding anything from you. Just give it some water before you start the journey. It's gonna fill the stomach, fill the reserve tank. And for 1 week, is not going to ask you for anything. Now we'll just carry you and keep on moving forward and keep on taking you through the desert. Shah Waliullah Rahimahullah says, this is a quality that Allah liked to see in a mu'min, in a believer. That he's not having demands. He takes his necessities of the life and moves forward. And keeps on serving his master without keep on demanding of I want more and I want more. We come to the masjid. If a person starts coming to the masjid, you come 2 days, third day you have a flat tire. After that, I'm not coming to the masjid. You know, I get flat tire when I go to the masjid. That's it. This is our connection. Just one flat tire will stop us from coming to the masjid again. Small difficulties in our life will take us away from our masajid. Oh, that person shouted at me in the masjid. That person did this to me. At our workplace. We go through much more than this. And still, we never complain about it. And I'm going to attend that meeting. And I'll try to prove that no, I can do something and prove myself. And here, I'm not coming again. Our demands are much higher than what we are offering to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is reality. Look at when we serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are our demands? Ya Allah, I have been consistent with my jama'at now, with my work, with my namaz, salah, with jama'at. So Ya Allah, I should be getting some raise now soon. I should get a better job, and my son's graduation, and my daughter's education. Ya Allah, now I shouldn't go through any difficulty over there, so that I can continue doing your work. These are our demands. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْنِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Be like a camel. Just carry the master, keep on moving forward through the desert without demanding anything. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Set your goals as high as the skies. It's not that only 5 prayers. It's not that, okay, only this. Don't set small goals, lower goals. Set your goals high when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For dunya we know, I wish I can become millionaire today, in one day. But when it comes to the deen, brother, we need to take it easy. Use your hikmah, use your wisdom, and your wisdom tells you, you know, take it easy. You can't just go too fast. This is, you know, you can't just do everything in one day. But when it comes to earning our dunya, let's move quick. Let's run, rush. And we are running to the dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during one of his journeys, he stopped by a small village where there was a villager in his tent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, they stopped over there. So this person, he really took care of them, brought some of them milk, water. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy. And he said to him, when you come to Medina, make sure you visit me. Come to Medina and visit me in Medina. He wants to repay this person. He did so much for us. I want to do something for him now. And of course, this reminds us of another very, very important quality of shukr, appreciating what people do for us. So after years, this villager happened to come to Medina Munawwara. He remembered that promise and he said, you know, I need to visit him someday. So he came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as he entered the masjid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognized him. That this is that person who gave us so much respect, and he gave us a place in his tent, and he provided us with milk and water over there in the tent in the desert. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a very warm reception over there, and he got up and he received him and he made him sit next to him, and all the Sahaba sitting there, they're so surprised that who is this villager? Who is this newcomer? We haven't seen him in Medina before. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows him and he is giving him so much respect. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that they are shocked and they are surprised that why I'm giving him so much respect. So he told them that this is my story with this man. I told him when he comes to Medina, he should come and visit me. So he made him sit next to him, and then he offered him whatever food he could offer him. And then he says to this villager, he says, ask for whatever you want. Ask for whatever you want. So he says, I would ask for a few goats and a camel and some food. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he looked towards Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and he said, what do you think about what he just asked for? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, أَيَعْجِزُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَكُونَ كَعَجُوزِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Why don't you be at least like the old lady from Bani Israel. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, who are you talking about? What is the story of that old lady of Bani Israel? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Bani Israel were leaving, and this is an authentic hadith, narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in his Musnad and many other muhaddiseen, with an authentic narration. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Bani Israel were leaving Egypt with Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, on their path, on their way, it got so dark that they couldn't see the road anymore. So they had to stop. And Musa alayhi salatu wa salam turned around and asked them, he said, we must have done something wrong. We will say, where are the lights? Let's arrange for a generator, flashlights. And Musa alayhi salam realizes this darkness is a result of something wrong we have done. Everything from these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, every step in the life of these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are full of lessons for us. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked them, do you remember something that we have done? And they said, we don't know other than it could be one thing, that our ancestors told us that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was dying, he made his last will was that when you leave Egypt, he is the first person who came to Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the first person of Bani Israel that went to Egypt. And we know his story through Surah Yusuf. So, his last will was, when you leave Egypt, then take my body with you. So they said, this could be the thing. He said, yes, sure. It's the last will of a prophet of Allah and we have to fulfill it. So who knows the whereabout of the grave of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? They said, there is only one person that knows the whereabout of that grave. And that is an old lady in our community from Bani Israel. But the problem with her is, she doesn't tell anyone about it. She doesn't tell anyone about the whereabout of the grave or the qabr of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, let me talk to her. He called her and said, you see the situation that we are in? It's a very difficult situation, dangerous situation. We need to make our way out of Egypt very quickly. Can you tell us the whereabout? She said, I can tell you, but with one my condition. I have a condition. What's your condition? My condition is, if I can be with you in Jannah, then only I will tell you the whereabout of the grave. The hadith says, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam looked at her. You know, sometime maybe a new person comes into the masjid whose dress and look and things we don't approve of. And if this person says, I will be with you in Jannah and I will think with me, I have been praying for such a long time. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, of course he knows, you know, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's status in Jannah. It's not something that any person can get over there. So he said, you're demanding something too high for you. This demand is too high. She said, okay. You don't want to know. You don't want to know. That's fine. You don't fulfill my condition. I'm not telling you. But look at the situation. I don't care about your situation. That's your problem. For me, I have my condition. You fulfill my condition, I'll tell you the whereabout. If you're not telling me, if you're not fulfilling my condition, I'm not telling you. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we know there is more than one choice over here. Ya Allah, she's demanding something that is, I consider it to be too much. So, Ya Allah, you tell me the whereabout. That's easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inform Musa alayhi salatu wasalam the whereabout of the qabr and it's all done. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, this lady is demanding this. What should I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, she is the only one who knows about it. So, fulfill her demand. Subhanallah. And this shows us the amazing rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfill her demand. We would be very upset about it. That what type of demand is that? But she wants to be with Anbiya in Jannah. Is she asking for something that is wrong to ask for? We want a house in the neighborhood of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told her, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to fulfill your demand. You will be with me in Jannah. Now tell me the whereabout. And long story short, she informed them about it and they took the qabr, the body of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the lesson he was passing on to the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in through this story, that look at this woman's goal in her life, that she wants to be with Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam in Jannah. This is what her demand is. He says, be like the old lady of Bani Israel, that you set your goal to be with Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam in Jannah. What does that mean? That you won't be sitting in the last of every prayer. You won't be looking at the watch, okay, it's still second rak'ah, inshallah, still after a few more minutes, if I go, I'll get the last qada, last tashahud. Last to come and first to leave. We are always towards the end of all of our Islamic activities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ. We know those who move forward, we know those who stay back. You know, when it comes to Jum'ah, specifically about Salatul Jum'ah, and this is a training. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are people who keep on coming late for Jum'ah. لَا يَزَالُ أَقْوَامٌ يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ حَتَّى يُؤَخِّرُهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي جَنَّارِ جَهَنَّمُ. There are people who will always stay back, stay behind and always be late. Allah will keep them late from going into Jannah by throwing them in Jahannam. There is no waiting room over there. If a person is late to go to Jannah, then the waiting room is Jahannam. There are people who will always be late. In the Akhirah, Allah will keep them behind from entering the Jannah by throwing them in Jahannam. This is when a person is having that habit of just staying back. Let other people do it first. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, develop the habit of competing with each other towards Jannah, and not just the lower stages of Jannah, in Jannatul Firdaus. With Anbiya, ma'an Nabiyeen, was-Siddiqeen, was-Shuhada'i, was-Saliheen. So these are the goals that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to set our goals high. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Look at these skies, how they have been raised. Those should be your goals. A sahabi came to spend some time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, serving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time, especially during the night time. He used to prepare the water for wudu, water for istinja. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up, he would walk with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the middle of the night when he's going for the nasal calls. So, one day, as he provided the water to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy with his service. So he says to him, ask for whatever you like to ask. Just put yourself in that situation. Ask for whatever you like to ask. Whatever you want, ask for it. And I would say, Ya Rasulullah, you know, my factory, my business, my work, my children. He said, Ya Rasulullah, أَسْأَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I ask to be with you in Jannah. Subhanallah, didn't need time to do istikhara for this. Ya Rasulullah, give me 3 days. And for us, the least is, I have to talk to my wife. No, right away, أَسْأَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I ask to be with you in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that demand is very high. Are you really ready for it? So he asked him again. He says, "Awa ghayra dhalik? Do you like something else?" Now I would say, okay, let me take out the other things that I have in my mind. He says, "Huwa dhaka ya Rasulullah? This is the only thing I want, ya Rasulullah, in my life. That's the goal of my life. I'm staying here not to earn dunya, not to become wealthy, not to get something in my life. This is the only reason I'm here, ya Rasulullah, with you. Murafaqataka fil jannah, to be with you in jannah." That's it. Huwa dhaka ya Rasulullah? That's all I want, ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already promised him. So he says, okay, inshallah I'll get you that, but I need you to help me. How? فَأَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. Help me against your nafs by doing a lot of nafl prayers. So these are the goals. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. With all of these high goals, now make sure that you are firm and istiqama. And this is where most of us need a lot and a lot of help, and we need to concentrate on this. Do it for 2 days and then not seen for a year. It doesn't help. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. Be firm now, like a mountain, and keep on moving forward. Don't give up. Don't let things that make you fall away. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. This is istiqamah. Change is easy. Change is easy. But to be consistent on staying with that change and having istiqamah on it is the thing that is required. And that is where we really need to work on ourselves. Doing things occasionally is easy. كَانَ أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا دِيمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ قَلْ. Allah loves the things that are done consistently, even if they are very small. Small deeds, but you are consistent on doing them. So, إِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. Show our firmness on our deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Once the person is able to move forward in this path. Of course, now people will start looking up to you, and people will admire you, people will talk about you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be as humble as the earth. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. See the earth, how soft it is for us to walk on it. It provides us back for us to keep on walking on it all the time, and doesn't mind us stepping on it. People will step on you. And this is a reality. For those who have done any type of work of deen, or who are doing any type of work of deen, they know that as soon as you move forward with your work of deen, people will start stepping on you. They will not step with you, they will step on you. It's an amazing fact that normally, really, we don't realize it. We don't see it. It's those who really, who are firmly working for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know how people like to step on us. But we need those people. Remember where we started with. We need people that would stand for the deen of Allah with these qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to enter that city, where there are some very strong people, Amalika. And these people went to have a quick survey of the city. The leaders went. When they came back, they scared the whole nation. At that time, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي. Just pay attention to this ayah. Pondering to this ayah. This is a great prophet of Allah. From amongst the Anbiya, there are 5 ulul azmi min ar-rusul. Of the highest level. Musa alayhi salam is one of them. And look at how sad he must be at that time when he's saying this, to Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi, he has his whole nation in front of him. All the people are sitting there. They're walking behind Musa alayhi salam. They pray behind Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And at this time, Musa alayhi salam when he is talking to Allah, when he is making his dua to Allah, he is saying, Rabbi, O my Lord, إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي. I have no control over anyone here other than just myself and my brother. No one wants to listen. How many times our a'imma, our scholars, they feel like saying the same thing, Rabbi, إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي. Ya Allah, I have no control over anyone. No one wants to listen no more. After the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan, radiyallahu anhu, who at that time was leading the kuffar, when Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een started assembling around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a news that, wal-ayazu billah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been murdered. So now, Abu Sufyan, he started calling. What was the first thing he asked? Afikum Abu Bakr? Is Abu Bakr there? And everyone is quiet. Afikum Umar? Is Umar there? Why does he want to know about Abu Bakr and Umar? He knows that these are the people. As long as these people are there, this deen of Allah is not going to die. They know that this deen has people that would stand for it. And people saw it after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Abu Bakr and Umar stood for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it wasn't just out of nowhere he's asking about Abu Bakr and Umar. No, he wants to see if Abu Bakr and Umar are there, then even if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away or he was killed, wal-ayyazu billah, then still this deen is going to survive and continue because Abu Bakr and Umar are there. These are the people. This is what we need. People. People that people will, when people will look at them, they will say, with these type of people, nothing can happen to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Allah supports His deen through people. He's going to use human beings. He's not going to just bring angels without human beings. When we would stand for the deen of Allah, when we present ourselves before the deen of Allah, then Allah will support us in every way. But we have to be there for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he worked with Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, this is exactly what he did. He prepared those people. Quran repeatedly talks about these type of things. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. Amongst the believers, there are people, رِجَال, there are men, there are people, صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ, who are very truthful in the promise they made with Allah. Allah is talking about them. He says, from amongst the believers, you would find people that are very truthful to the promise that they have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we really truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our promises? What are we doing for Allah and for the deen of Allah? رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Again, pay attention to the word رجال. They are people. They are men. لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Trade, business will not keep them away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وإقام الصلاة, and from establishing صلاة, وإيتاء الزكاة, and from paying zakah. This is رجال. We need rijal, we need people today. This is all what I want to remind, that we need people. And now, when we look at ourselves, the first thing, the first question that would come to our mind, but I can do nothing. Shaitan will make us so humble at that stage now. He knows how to trick us. Now he's not going to say that you be arrogant. He said, no, be humble. And humbleness now means, I can do nothing. I'm not worthy of doing anything. So then, I'll continue doing my work. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us for our qualities, that how strong you are, how powerful you are, how intelligent you are, what are your degrees. No. He knows how to use us. And He knows where to use us. As long as we are available and we are presenting ourselves to Allah with ikhlas, with sincerity, Allah knows how to use us. Read the biographies of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Just take a simple example of Umar radiallahu anhu. Look at Umar before Islam. Looking at him at that time before Islam, can anyone think that this Umar would do anything for Islam? In fact, when Sahaba were leaving Makkah Mukarrama to Habasha, one of the families that were leaving, the wife says to her husband that today Umar was passing by me and he said to me, he said, you know, I feel sad for you people that you have to leave. So I feel like he's getting softer for the deen. Maybe he will accept Islam someday. So the husband says, لَنْ يَسْلِمَ إِبْنُ الْخَطَّابِ حَتَّى يَسْلِمَ حِمَارُ الْخَطَّابِ. The son of Al-Khattab, which means Umar, will never accept Islam, even if their donkey would accept Islam before him. That was people's view about Umar. And subhanallah, and the amazing fact, when did Umar accept Islam? The time when he's going with the plan of killing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time, all of us would be ready to fight Umar, to curse Umar, to do anything to Umar. And that is the time when we will think, I would think, now I'm looking at that man. He's walking with his open sword. And he's, where is he going? He's going towards the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying, he's asking everyone, where is Muhammad? I want to kill Muhammad. And we all are sitting over here looking at this man. I can't do nothing. But Ya Allah, destroy him. Ya Allah, destroy him. I want him to be punished. I want him to be destroyed. And I'm making a good lesson for the whole ummah. So the whole ummah will say, we can tell the world that if you do anything, I don't have to do anything. Allah will destroy you. The time when I feel Allah is supposed to send an azab from the heaven and destroy this man, that is the time when Allah is opening the door of hidayah on him and having rahmah on him. This is Allah's rahmah. Whatever we do, we will do it through Allah's rahmah, not through our abilities. But the point here, very, very important reminder, this is not a talk where we can say just we heard the talk and we would leave. Let's see where we would fit in this building of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And are we making ourselves available to the deen of Allah? Go to your a'imma, go to the scholars, tell them, I want to do something for the deen. I want to offer my khidmat to the deen. Please tell me, what can I do for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whenever you need me, call me. Whenever you want me, let me know. Whatever you need from me, I'm ready for it. But please, don't forget me. I want you to know that I'm ready to support you for whatever you're doing for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make ourselves available and then you will see how Allah will open the doors for us. I have seen people. Really, I have seen people. When we look at them, just from the worldly point of view, when we look at outwardly at those people, you think, you know, this person, he needs a lot more hidayah. And I need to give him a long talk. He has to do i'tikaf with me for 40 days before he would even be considered to be a good Muslim, not just a pious person. And when you talk to this man, you realize the way Allah have used this man, the way Allah is taking the service of deen from this man, this subhanallah, he is the source of hidayah for thousands of people. He made himself available. And I have so many of those examples that I've seen with my own eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us for His deen. May Allah give us tawfiq that we make ourselves available to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we offer our services to the deen of Allah. It's not just a thought. I'm ready. But how do we know you're ready? Present yourself to those who are in the front lines, who are taking the lead in this deen of Allah, in doing the work for the deen of Allah, in supporting the deen of Allah. And those are none but our ulama, the scholars of Islam. Really, I have to say this because I see how we are breaking away from our ulama. And the only time we regret and we start feeling bad after they die, after they leave the world. And this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah will take this knowledge of deen and this deen away from us by taking our ulama away from us. So when the alim is there and we are not connected, we are not benefiting from them, then of course Allah has taken him away from me. There is no benefit of having him there. He's taken away from me. He's there for someone else, but not for me because I'm not there for him. So let's connect our souls. Connecting to our soul, our soul to the deen is by connecting to the masajid, by connecting to the book of Allah, to the ibadah of Allah, and to the people of Allah. May Allah accept all of us. May Allah accept us and give us tawfiq that we practice upon this. And we make ourselves available to the deen of Allah. And we come move forward towards the deen of Allah, towards serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi, Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen ya Rabbi.
Inshallah, we will now make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows with all the virtues, significance, blessings, reward and nur of making his dhikr as stated in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through the dhikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies of all our spiritual diseases, ailments, maladies, removes the callousness of the heart, grants us forgiveness of all our major and minor sins. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the dhikr fills the spaces between the heavens and the earth with the nur of the dhikr, and through this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His protection, His guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His mercies upon the entire creation. Through the dhikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us peace, contentment, tranquility of heart, grants us protection and safety from the evils of the shayateen, the mischievous jinnat, the evils of our nafs, the evils of our enemies, the evils of those that try to harm us, the evils of the thieves, the murderers and the hijackers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the dhikr strengthens our iman and makes it a means of us living this world in the state of iman. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله 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 هذري الله نذري الله معي الله 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 صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير خلق كلهم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
جزاكم الله خير. We just like to say جزاكم الله to the Imam and all the متولّيّس of this masjid. allowing us the opportunity for serving the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a special jazakallah to all of you for making a sacrifice. We know it's a Sunday night, it is a family night. You have sacrificed the time of your family for the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also accept from me, from you. Jazakumullah.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أدخلنا الجنة بغير حساب وتوفنا مع الصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه حبيبك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم إله العالمين ہمارے اس جمع ہونے کو قبول فرما لیں اس مسجد کو قبول فرما لیں رب العالمین اس مسجد میں خوب خیر و برکت کی بہاریں چلا دیں الہ العالمین ہر فتنے سے محفوظ فرما دیں رب العالمین یہاں کے ائمہ کو منتظمین کو نمازیوں کو رب العالمین پوری کمیونٹی کو قبول فرما لیں اسے رب العالمین خوب ترقیات ان کو سب کو نصیب فرما دیں اس مسجد کو ہدایت کا ذریعہ بنا دیں یہاں سے دنیا بھر میں ہدایت کی ہوائیں چلا دیں الہ العالمین ہم سب کو بھی دین کی خدمات کے لیے قبول فرما لیں رب العالمین ہمیں اپنی دین کی خدمت سے محروم نہ فرمائیں ہم سب کو قبول فرما لیں ہم سے راضی ہو جائیں رب العالمین اپنی رضا والے کام کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دیں رب العالمین اس دنیا میں ہمارے جو بھی زندگی باقی ہے اسے اپنے دین کے لیے استعمال کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دیں الہ العالمین ہمارے لیے موت کے اور موت کے بعد کے تمام مراحل کو آسان فرما دیں ہمارے اعز اقرباء رشتہ داروں میں سے جو انتقال کر چکے ہیں سب کی قبروں کو جنت کا باغ بنا دیں الہ العالمین جب ہماری موت کا وقت آئے تو ہماری موت کو بھی آسان فرما دیں الہ العالمین روز محشر نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اور صحابہ کا ساتھ ہم سب کو نصیب فرما دیں اور نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی شفاعت ہمارے حق میں قبول فرما لیں اور نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے ہاتھوں سے ہمیں حوض کوثر کا پانی نصیب فرما دیں اور ہمیں جنت الفردوس بلا حساب نصیب فرما دیں اللہم ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم وصلی اللہ تبارک و تعالی علی خیر خلقہ سیدنا و نبینا محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.